This week's Parsha, Parsha Shemini, and we're holding now, at least for many people, I'd say a majority of people, we're holding now in the Avelos of Yimei HaSvira. And we actually find ourselves in a very difficult situation where we're dealing with mixed emotions. On one hand, between Pesach and Shavuos, it's supposed to be a very joyous time. Because we really left Mitzrayim, we became Klal Yisrael, we became close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we were waiting for Kabbalah Sater, we were waiting for Matan Torah, we were waiting for the receiving of the Torah. To which the Mefarshim obviously compare Kabbalah Sater to a Chasana. You get engaged, now you know who you're going to marry, now you just count down to the wedding date. So really, Klal Yisrael was at a very joyous time right after we left Mitzrayim, and it was like that for thousands of years. It was only when the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died during this time did it switch over from being somewhat of a difficult time, more of a sad time. But really, initially, this was supposed to be a very joyous time. But now we find ourselves with a dilemma of mixed emotions. On one hand, we're supposed to be rejoicing because we're excited that we're going to get the Torah. We count down every night to Kabbalah Satayra. On the other hand, there's an element of Avelos. And I often point this out. This is the longest period of mourning that we have, besides for over a real relative. Even the mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, for Ashkenazim, is only 3 weeks. This mourning over the loss of Torah and lives is 33 days, no matter how you slice it or dice it. Which is something that is interesting. For the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, we only have 3 weeks. But for the loss of Talmidei Chachamim and the lives of great leaders, and perhaps the Mesiras HaTorah that was represented in Rav Akiva students, we mourn for 33 days. And it's worth, you know, acknowledging that this is a very serious point in time of Avelos. But on the other hand, we're supposed to be excited because we're counting down to Kabbalah Satayra. So it's a very, very mixed emotions. So how do we as Jews deal with mixed emotions? When on one hand we're supposed to be rejoicing and on the other hand we're met with sorrow. And I think this year we really all are dealing with this. We're grappling with this. Because if you think about it, when did this coronavirus really become an issue, so to say, for us in our communities? Was right around Purim time. Purim is Chodesh Adar. Chazal tells, "Mishenichnas Adar marbe besimcha." We're not supposed to be sad and quarantined during Adar. We're supposed to be rejoicing. And everyone knows that the Purim this year was not the same Purim. It was a very different feeling to the Purim. And that was only the beginning of what was going to be this effect on Klal Yisrael. So the Chodesh Adar, which is supposed to be a Chodesh besimcha, ended up becoming a Chodesh where we're all worried and nervous, and Nebuch have lost many, many people. Then we come to Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan is supposed to be another joyous time. Pesach, Yom Tovim, Shalosh Regalim. It's supposed to be such a joyous time. And yet it was mixed again with emotions of sadness because we've all have heard of someone or know of someone that has been lost since this virus. And many Gdolim have been lost and many great activists and regular wonderful people have all been taken from us because of this virus. How are we supposed to balance that? We're still in Chodesh Nisan. We're not allowed to fast in Chodesh Nisan. We don't say Tachron in Chodesh Nisan. There's a certain feeling of joy in Chodesh Nisan. Yet on the other hand, we know that there are certain cemeteries that today are so overloaded, they're not taking any more Levayas today. I forgot which one. Someone told it to me over the weekend. That's the world we're living in right now. And on the other hand, it's Chodesh Nisan. How exactly are we supposed to balance these two emotions of joy and sorrow at the same time? And I believe the answer is found in this week's Parasha and Parasha Shemini. Parasha Shemini, the Torah tells us that on the eighth day of the Miluyim, when they finally put up the Mishkan, and the Mishkan was finally in place, and it was active, and it was working, and everyone was so happy. The Gemara tells us Hashem was happy, and the people were happy, everyone was excited. You can only imagine the joy and the celebration. And that all came to a very, very, very quick end with the passing of Nadav Aviv. And in the middle of all the joy, and in the middle of all the festivity, Aaron HaKohen was enjoying his day. This was his day in the limelight, his day to shine, his day to become inaugurated as the Kohen Gadol, to become the holiest, the most important job of the Mishkan, was his day to shine, his day to bask in the glory. And it all came to a very, very quick end because he lost two sons. His two sons died tragically in front of everyone for whatever avera they did. And the Torah gives us a very famous line, Vayidoim Aaron. What was Aaron's response to the mixed emotions? He was silent. What was the silence? So I believe what Aaron HaKohen is teaching us is that if we as Jews believe that everything comes from Hashem, the joy and the sorrow, and everything that Hashem does has a cheshbon, and everything that Hashem does is ultimately for our best, so therefore Aaron HaKohen felt no need to express sadness. Instead, he accepted the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely, because he understands and he believes that this is what Hashem wants, and ultimately, it's what's best for everyone. And therefore, Vayidem Aaron, Aaron teaches us in this week's parasha that we have to look at sadness and joy not as opposite emotions, but perhaps different emotions, but not opposites, because they're both coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sense of joy and nachas and wonderful things come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the pain and anguish and sorrow also come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you have to find the way to believe that this sadness is also for our benefit. It's not easy, but that's what Aaron HaKohen taught us in this week's parasha, and that's what we're living right now. We're living through a tkufa, we're dealing with two emotions. On one hand, we're supposed to be joyous, because it's Chodesh Nisan, it's not a sad time. And on the second hand, Lamaisa, we can't turn a blind eye to the world around us. The world around us is so scary, it's so sad, about how many people have been lost, how many people have been taken from us due to this horrific virus. I mentioned last week, my sister is getting married today. Now you can't get a more complicated situation of emotions than a chasana. Here you have a young couple, both young boy and young girl, who've been probably waiting for this day their entire life. And the chasana is not going to be the way they planned it. However, it's going to be very, very small. Just immediate siblings, and not even all of my siblings are going to be there. None of the grandchildren are going to be there. It's a hard for everyone. It's hard for the chasana kala. It's a hard for the parents. And there's no good words to say to them to really appease them. I've tried. I've given different suggestions, but it's not really easy to do. But how is one supposed to be able to mix the idea of getting married in the backdrop of a small chasana in the backyard? And it's not easy, and I'm not here trying to give any answers. I'm just pointing out that that's the job of Aaron HaKohen in this week's parasha. Vayidem Aaron. Aaron is trying to find a way to deal with two emotions. On one hand, the joy of being inaugurated as the Kohen Gadol with the sorrow of losing his son. And the answer was Vayidem, through silence. He's not doubting the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? He didn't say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you couldn't have waited 2 weeks. You couldn't have waited 8 hours. You couldn't have waited a week. And how many of these couples that are getting married this week are saying to themselves, you know what? What would have happened if I would have gotten engaged 2 weeks later and 2 months later and this and that and the other? Who knows? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for whatever reason, and we definitely are not here to judge him. Says the Klausenberger Rebbe, someone once came over to him after the Holocaust and asked him, how did you survive through all the hardship? How did you survive all the difficulties? So the Klausenberger Rebbe says, based on something we recited in the Haggadah not so long ago, and we say it at every bris milah, we say the words, B'demayich Chayi. So the simple understanding means through the blood we live. Said the Klausenberger Rebbe, no, it means through Vayidim. Do you know how we survive all the hardships? Do you know how we survived as a nation, the Crusades, and Tach V'tat, and the Holocaust, and bombings in Eretz Yisrael? Do you know how we survived all that? Vayidim. By being silent, by not doubting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not asking why Hashem, why did you do this? It's not fear. This is my wedding date. This is my relative. This was a great gadol. That's not our job. Our job is not to doubt. Our job is not to question. Vayidem, we're silent. We accept the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same way we don't doubt HaKadosh Baruch Hu when He gives us joy and simcha, we don't doubt HaKadosh Baruch Hu when He brings us sorrow. Not that it's easy. Definitely not easy at all. But Aaron HaKohen infused in all of us in this week's parasha the ability to balance sadness and joy. And that's what we're holding right now in Svira. On one hand, we're so excited to Kabbalah Satara. On the other hand, we have to deal with the passing of the students of Rabbi Akiva. And we are actively in mourning. I read an amazing story over Shabbos with Rabbi Eliel Lapian. Rabbi Eliel Lapian had a son who started a yeshiva in Tveria. So he used to go often to go visit his son to be mechazik the yeshiva. And when he used to go to Tveria, he used to go visit Rabbi Rafal Cook. Rabbi Rafal Cook was the chief rabbi of Tveria, and Rabbi Eliel Lapian would pop in occasionally and speak with him. But one time he came to the house of Rabbi Rafal Cook, and Rabbi Eliel Lapian said to him, I want you to bring your wife here also. I want your wife to hear what I have to say. And he started to give a whole drasha about the Asara Rugi Malchus. He started to discuss the idea and the stories of the Asara Rugi Malchus, and anyone who reads it on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur knows the horrific details given to us about how the Asara Rugi Malchus were murdered and killed, barbaric. And he said over to the Rebbetzin and to Rebbe Rafal Cook, he said, it must be that there must have been a terrible kitrig on Klal Yisrael at that time, and these tzaddikim were the karbonos on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And he left. And both Rebbe Rafal and his rebbes were very puzzled what exactly Rebbe Eliel Lapian wanted with this, what was his message, and what was the idea. Many years later, in 1975, Rebbe Rafal Cook's oldest son, Reb Shlomo Cook, who was a chief rabbi in Rehovot, was in a horrific car crash with his entire family, and he lost. He died, his wife died, and many of his children were killed. During the Shiva, his mother was sitting Shiva, and it finally popped into her mind, what Rebbe Elie Lapian told her. And she screamed out loud, Rebbe Elie Lapian, you brought me nechama. She now realized that the passing of tzaddikim are mechaper on the whole door. And she said to himself, now I understand what Rebbe Elie Lapian meant about the Sarigim Malchus. Now I understand what he meant now that my family is going through tragedy. I think it's so apropos for what we're living right now. And we're seeing Nebuch, so many of our great leaders, both Talmidei Chachamim and activists and regular people and everyone, it's got to be a kapar for our generation. It means that our generation needed a very big chizuk, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to pick very special people to be those that are going to represent our generation, and their lives were given and taken on behalf of our generation. My Rebbe Rav Kalman Epstein pointed out in a drasha that he gave during this time, he said that they say over from the name of the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish said that during the Holocaust, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was basically restarting the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, so to say, stopping the world and booting it up again and starting from scratch. So my Rebbe wanted to say perhaps the same idea here also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind of starting the world again, not exactly Baruch Hashem, not as extreme as the Holocaust, but he's really restarting everything. There's a whole new world we're living in. The life as we know it is basically seized due to Corona. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu's starting again, and we have to start again on much better footing. And these tzaddikim and these great people that have died, they did not die in vain. They died a kapar for us. And now we can reboot our lives and we can start again. And when we get to go back into the yeshivas and back into our shuls and back into our social events, we're going to be different people. Because we started a new world. Life is not the same as it was 2 months ago. It's a whole new world. And that's our avoda during this time, is to find the balance between the simcha and the joy of whether it be personal simchas or communal simchas or just Chodesh Nisan mixed together with the emotions of the tsar of the Avelis of Rebbe Akiva, along with the Tamidim of Rebbe Akiva, along with the suffering and pain that we all see around us. I just want to conclude with what I heard from Rav Asher Weiss on Friday. And I saw it brought down in other svarim. I saw it's even attributed to the Chassam Sofer, that the month of Iyar is the month of Mesugal for Refuah. That's what Iyar, they say, Iyar stands for Ani, Yud Yud is Hashem's name, Reifech, I am Hashem that will heal you. And it's brought down in quite a few svarim. Moshe Weiss mentioned this as well, that in quite a few svarim, a more chassidish svarim about the Chassam Sofer records it as well, that Chodesh Iyar is Zman Mesugal for Refuah. And he explains the reason is because Chodesh Iyar was when Klal Yisrael got the man. And the mon was not just a physical experience, it was a spiritual experience. And therefore, Chodesh Iyar is a time for a special refuah. So, Mir Hashem, we hope and we pray that this Iyar should be an unbelievable refuah for all of those chaylim, for all those people that are suffering, not only from corona, but from all other ailments and all other sicknesses that are affecting our community. And Mir Hashem, this should be the Chodesh. This should be the Chodesh where everyone is nisrape, everyone is healed. And Mir Hashem, we should hear of no more pain and suffering. We should only hear complete and utter simcha b'chol tefutzas Yisrael. Today's shir is dedicated for a refuah shalema, for all those that need a refuah shalema, for all those that are suffering with this horrific machla, along with all the other suffering in Klal Yisrael, as well as for Sigal Chana Fe'ela Bas Yardna, Pesach Ben Devora, Peril Yenta Bas
Brinda,
and one more, David. I'm sorry, I didn't write it down again.
Chaya Rachel
Bas Alto Hudi Zissel. Hudi Zissel. Mitzvah Hashem, all our learning should be an amazing.
Can I add one more?
Please.
Lima Sarah Bas Malka.
Going forward, if anyone wants, they could just add their name and just say that it should be l'zchus for those who need refuah shleima. We hope that our learning today should be able to create an amazing rachamei shemayim and be a refuah shleima to kol choyle Yisrael. Today's topic is a little off the beaten path, but I think I'm pretty sure everyone will enjoy it from at least a lomdish standpoint. Today's share, I want to discuss a topic that is very interesting in lomdish and halacha as well. In Mitzvah Hashem, Tuesday night, we're supposed to discuss it from a halachic standpoint, but I just want to make everyone aware that this Tuesday night, I also want to discuss a shayla that's been asked quite frequently by many people. Is it permissible to shave this Wednesday? This Friday. Because this Friday is Rosh Chodesh, is it permissible to shave? So I'm not going to give away the answer, but I urge you to come listen to the Shir Tuesday night. We will discuss the permissibility. So if you're looking for a heter, you don't want to miss this Tuesday night Shir. We're going to discuss whether or not it's permissible to shave on Friday. What about shaving Thursday night? What about if you hold the Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, which you're not allowed to shave? All of that we will discuss this Tuesday, hopefully as well as Lois Iskaidu from a halachic standpoint. But either way, we will get to whether or not it's permissible to shave this Friday. So please, you don't want to miss it. You want to hear this. You want to know if it's permissible to shave this Friday. But today I want to discuss the din of Lois Iskaidu. What's Lois Iskaidu? So if you look in source number one, there's a pasuk in Devarim. It says in the Torah, "Bonim atem Hashem Elokeichem." You are children to Hashem. Lois Iskaidu, whatever that word means. And therefore you should not place a karcha, a bald spot, between your eyes. What exactly is this pasuk referring to? So most of us assume, as we'll see, it's a Gemara in Yevamis, that the pasuk is referring to cutting yourself. When my wife received the email from Michael about this week's shir, she said to me, "Why are you giving a shir about cutting yourself?" I said, "Okay, I guess you assume that pasuk shan the pasuk of Lois Iskaidu means not to."
Rabbi, your wife knows what Lois Iskaidu means.
That's what she told me. She told me, "Oh, you're giving a shir about cutting yourself. Why are you giving a shir about cutting yourself?" I said, "Well, that's one way of reading the pasuk. There's another way to read the pasuk, and that's what we're talking about today."
Never mind that. His kids know what it means.
I don't know. So she told me she.
Never mind his wife. His 5-year-old son knows what it means.
My son today told me he wanted to give the shir because he wants to stay busy this morning. I said, "You can give the shir if you learn the sugya." So he tells me, "So teach me the sugya right now." I said, "It takes more than a half an hour to learn Lois Iskaidu, but maybe a different time. If you want to give the share, you're more than happy to give the share."
Is that what Beis Hillel would say?
Yeah. So we're going to get to that. We're going to see all about this. But simple. Again, if you look in Chumash, the Mefarshei HaChumash, if you look in Rashi and the commentaries of Chumash, no one makes any reference to this pasuk to anything besides for cutting yourself over the passing of a family member. But if you look in the Gemara in Yevam, it's Daf Yud Gimel. Now, as I often say that... I should never say what I plan on doing, but I don't anticipate in the future ever saying a regular shir on Yevamis. So whenever we have a chance to learn a sugya in Yevamis, we try to learn it to the fullest degree. So here's a Gemara in Yevamis, very interesting Gemara in Yevamis, almost nothing to do with Yibum v'chalitza, the typical topic, but it's a very, very important Gemara for our topic today. So the Gemara reads like this, Tanan Hasa. And this sugya will connect the Yom Tov of Purim, the Yom Tov of Pesach, and Sfir Sa'imer, it's mamash, a beautiful sugya. It connects all three Yamim Toivim, and therefore it's a very, very geshmaka sugya. So the Gemara reads like this. Tanan Hasa. We learned over there. Famous Mishnah Megillah. We actually spoke about this before Purim. It says in the Mishnah Megillah, Nikras, Be'echad Asar, B'shnei Masar, B'shloish Asar, U'barba Asar, B'chamish Asar. We know the Megillah can be read anytime starting from the 11th of Adar through the 15th. It depends where you are. If you're in a walled city, if you're not in a walled city, if you're a village, if you're a city, all different rules. Says the Gemara, Lo Pachas V'Loyoser, but you may not read more, less, or earlier. No one's allowed to read the Megillah before the 11th, and no one's allowed to read the Megillah after the 15th. That's the famous Mishnah, opening Mishnah, first Mishnah, Maseches Megillah. So Amalei Rish Lakish Leb Yechim. Rish Lakish comes to Leb Yechim with a kasha. He says, Ikri Kan, why don't we say over here, Lois is going to do? Why don't we say that this is a violation of Lois is going to do? Lo Tasu Agudais Agudais. The other way of reading the pasuk of Lois Iskaidu doesn't mean...
What do those words mean?
So literally, the word Lois Iskaidu, the Gemara is going to say, means two things. It can either mean, don't make groups, or it means, don't make cuts. So the Gemara right now, Reish Lakish is asking Rabbi Yochanan, that he thinks Pshat in the pasuk is, don't make groups. What does it mean, don't make groups? It means you shouldn't have break-offs. You shouldn't have Klal Yisrael having different groups doing different things. And that's the idea of Lois Iskaidu. When we talk about Lois Iskaidu, we basically mean we don't want to have a split in Klal Yisrael where half of Klal Yisrael is following one halacha and the other half of Klal Yisrael is following another halacha. Now, obviously that's...
Where did Rabbi Yochanan get the basis for that?
Oh, we're going to see in a second. Now, this is a very open-ended statement and it needs a lot of clarity, both from a Lomdusha standpoint and obviously from a halachic standpoint. And Blineda will deal with both of them as it comes up. So the Gemara says, it's a problem of Lois Iskaidu. So the Gemara says, Hi Lois Iskaidu mi boile le gufe. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? There's no such drasha Lois Iskaidu that you're not allowed to have groups and groups. We need Lois Iskaidu to teach me le gufe. The pasuk is not talking about making break off of different groups doing different things. The pasuk is referring to the din that you're not allowed to cut yourself over a dead body. So the Gemara says, no, imkein lemakro loy te kaididu. The Torah should have said loy tigoydidu. Ma tiskoydidu. What's the extra tough? Tiskoydidu. Shema mino lahachu de asa. So it means he's come to teach me this as well. So it means I'm learning two things from this pasuk. I'm learning out the din, that one is not permitted to cut themselves over the loss. And also I'm learning out that you're not supposed to have agudas, agudas. You're not supposed to have different groups doing different things.
Rabbi, now,
yeah.
This is the first place that Gemara brings up any, like, why did Reish Lakish wait for Megillah? Why didn't he?
Ah, good. So we're going to see where else can you apply this possibly. That's what's going to be this Gemara right now. We're going to get to that. Mamish right now. So the Gemara says, keep this all in mind, guys. It's a little bit of a hemshich in the Gemara, but we're going to have to work through every single... Again, I don't know if you noticed, there's 4 pages of Maror Mekoymus. So my daughter asked me, why do you have 4 pages of Maror Mekoymus? I said, why does it affect you if I have 4 pages of Maror Mekoymus? Now, the reason why it's okay to have 4 pages is because since it's not printed on the Young Israel's paper, I don't feel like I'm wasting paper, so everyone can save the documents if we don't get to. But this is, I think, as quickly as we can do the sugya and lumdus, it's 4 pages worth of information. There's a lot here. I think we could probably spend a whole weeks on this, but I'm going to try to pack it into the 4 pages that we have in front of us. But we'll go through it as thoroughly detailed and hopefully as quickly as possible. So the Gemara asks, again, keep in mind, Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan that Megillah reading should present the problem of Loitasa Agudas Agudas. Why? Because you're going to have in Yerushalayim, they read the Megillah on the 15th, and in America, they read the Megillah on the 14th. That's two different groups. That's Agudas Agudas. That's one group doing it one way and one group doing it another way. Now, hold off, we will see more what exactly is so wrong with that. If anyone knows anything about Judaism, specifically Orthodox Judaism, everything is a machloikis, and everything has two shitas, and everything has two opinions. So since when has that become a problem? I think that was like the banner of Judaism. Everything is a machloikis apoiskim, everything is a machloikis rishonim, and everything has yesh amilas meich. So why exactly...
The Megillah reading is different facts.
Okay, good.
Different facts.
Good. So we're going to talk more about Megillah reading on page 3. Hopefully we'll get to it today. And I got till 2 o'clock until I have to be at the chasana, so I'm good to go. So hopefully we'll get to all these different things. But we're going to use the Gemara's examples, and then we'll jump around a little bit in Shas to see where else in Shas comes up Lois Iskaididu. And then hopefully for the Halacha segment, we'll discuss practically how does this play out. So the Gemara says it should be Lois Iskaididu. So then the Gemara is a very interesting question. And this is so relevant to the sugya. Frak the Gemara, Ve'ema kula lahach yuda asa. Says the Gemara, maybe the entire Pasuk is only talking about don't make groups. How do you know even to derive the basis of not making cuts? So the Gemara says, "In Cain, if so, lema kro loy tigaydu." The Torah should just wrote loy tigaydu. Ma loy tiskoydidu. Shemas mina tarti. I can learn out from here 2 things. I learn out from the word loy tiskoydidu, don't make cuts, and I also learn from here, don't make groups doing different things. Now we'll see later on if Moshe Feinstein makes this observation in the tshuva. But what's the Gemara's kasha? That the whole pasuk should only be referring to don't make groups. If the whole issue of making groups is only an asmachta, then what was the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara has a kasha. Maybe the whole pasuk is only referring to the issue of making groups. But if the whole issue to make groups would only be rabbinic, and the whole pasuk would only be an asmachta, what was the Gemara's kasha? So you see from here, which is the opinion of quite a few Rishonim, that the issue of Lo Tiskaidu is takin issa deraisa. Lo Tiskaidu is a deraisa dikdin. Lo Isasa agudas agudas is not just an issa derabonon because of, you know, whatever the svar is. It's an issa deraisa. And that's why the Gemara even entertained the possibility that maybe the whole pasuk is only referring to that and not referring to anything else. But we will come back to that as well.
But how would you deal with Karach Ben Efen Lames?
We're going to talk about that.
In the context of the pasuk is doing what the Goyim would do for Mace. Right? So
good.
Don't cut.
So we'll see in a second. If you look in 2b, there's a Ritva over here in Yavamas that's going to explain how you read the pasuk. We'll get to that in a few minutes. So the Gemara continues. So we're still in the middle of a question. Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, why isn't Megillah reading a problem of Lo Tiskaididu? So Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan answers back, Ad kam leishonis. Mokim shenogu la'asis melacha ber psachem ad chatzais oisin. Mokim shenogu shalazis me'in oisin. Rabbi Yochanan says, Reish Lakish, I don't understand what's bothering you. There's a Mishnah in Pesachim. Mishnah says in Pesachim, some communities had a minug not to do malach on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, and some communities didn't have the minug. Why don't you ask me about Loi Tiskaididu? Teretz says, it's not a problem. So all of a sudden now, why are you so concerned? You piped up now, you found a problem, Loi Tiskaididu. How could you Shalayim read the Megillah on Tezvav and in America read it on Yadal? Frank of Yechanan, and what about the fact that the Mishnah says in Pesachim, some communities didn't do malach on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, and some communities did do it? So you see, it's not a problem.
Yeah, but if you're asking that question, Rabbi, then all men hug him.
Ah, good. That's a very fundamental question over here. What was the conversation?
It's much different because when you do in America, it's on one day, Israel is another day. But here, when you do it together in the same shul at the same time, that's the problem.
Okay, good. So we're going to have to break it down. We're going to have to see, is Leute Sky to do a din in the city, a din in the community? We'll get to all of these things. So what does he answer back? Amalei amina locha, ana isura. Reish Lakish says back to Birchan, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Isurim. The Amr of Samon bar Abba Omer Birchan lekayim es yimei Purim bizmanehem. It says in the Megillah to fulfill the days of Purim in their times. So we make a drush, what's zmanehem? Zmanim har betiknu lehem chachomim. There are many different days given that Chazal established for the Megillah. Va'at amet li minhaga? And you're going to bring me a rai from a minug? So what's the answer? So Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish seem to be arguing, is Leitis Kaidu applicable by a minug or not? Reish Lakish says, what are you talking about? I'm asking you for Megillah. Megillah reading is a din. It's not a minug. It's not a minug to read.
Megillah reading, it's because of the vision factors that make
it
doing differently.
Good. So we're going to see. That's what Yushalmi says. That's not seemingly what the Bavli seems to say. What you're saying is a Svara will see in Yushalmi, Bli Neder, at some point. What the Bavli seems to be answering is that there's a difference between a minug and an iser. Or let me rephrase it. A minug and a din. Not doing malach on Erev Pesach before Chatzos is a minhag. So some people bought into the minhag, some people didn't buy into the minhag. So Reish Lakish says, minhagim? I'm not impressed to say that you can't have different communities doing different minhag. Because what's the definition of a minhag? It's a custom, it's not a din. However, Reish Lakish says to Birchan, but when you're telling me something like Isser, like when to read the Megillah, that's an Isser. That's not just a minhag. Then we say, loy tiskay didu. So if you look in Rashi number 3, very, very important Rashi. Let's finish reading the Gemara first. So he answers back to him, "I v'hasam lav isura have." He says, "What are you talking about? There's a surim there also." Vatanam we learned balayla. Machloik is b'sham beisil the lel b'dikas chametz if you're allowed to do malach. So b'sham oisum beisil matirim. So you see that there's machloik between b'sham beisil, even when it's something that's not a minig, it's something which is halachic. So the Gemara answers, "Amalei." So ahasam haroye amar malach hu delesle. So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. The Gemara says, no. Over there, there's no problem of Loitis Kaidu. Because what's going to happen? Some groups do Malacha, some groups don't do Malacha. So if I'm a guy who does Malacha, and my neighbor doesn't do Malacha, what's going to be my observation? My observation is not going to be that my friend is not following my minhag, just my friend has nothing else to do, so he's not doing any Malacha. He's not doing Malacha just because he has nothing to do. It's not an outward declaration of his opinion versus my opinion. As opposed to one community reading on Yedal and one community reading on Tezvav, that's an open statement of disagreement. That's the words of the Gemara.
About the opposite of that.
Good.
I see my neighbor doing it.
Very good. That's a Gevaldik Akasha. So we're going to deal with that question in a few minutes. Now, let's just take a look in Rashi number 2c. Let's first see 2b. Rashi is bavarning. Rashi is trying to deal with how do you read this pasuk? If this pasuk means loy tiskaidu, means don't have breakups, don't have different groups. So the Ritva writes to this, this is the way you read the Pasuk. What's the opening line of the Pasuk? We are children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since we're the children of one father, and one God, it actually reads beautifully, says the Ritva. What's the opening line of the Pasuk? Because we're all children of Hashem, so if we're all children of the same father, then we should all follow the same minhag. We shouldn't have split up. And when we split up and do different things, it gives off the impression as if there's two rules and two gods. Then he writes, and it's also befitting that we shouldn't cut ourselves over a death, because we're holy people. And we have a different set of rules of how we deal with death. So Ritva is trying to plug into the pasuk how to read it if it means what we're learning. And attack is beautiful because banim atem Hashem lekechem, because we're all children of Hashem, which means we should be united. Therefore, light is going to do. Therefore, it makes no sense that you're going to have one shul davening Megillah on Tuesday and one do Megillah on Wednesday. That's such a strange thing. If we're all the children of one God, we should all be following the same God. That's the way the Ritva reads the pasuk. Now,
and the V means A and B.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Now, here's the million-dollar question in the sugya today. What would be so wrong if we have agudas agudas? What's so bad? What's so bad if we have split? So Rashi says in number 2c, Denire kinoyagin beis tairis. It looks like there's two tairis. There's two sets of rules. We saw the Ritva said it looks like there's two gods. It looks like it's two Hashems, it's two Torahs. Zogt Rashi, it gives off the wrong impression. If you have two separate customs, it gives off the impression that there are two Torahs. Now Rashi continues. What was the kasha from Megillah? Kishakirin kfarim es Megillah b'yom knisa. When the kfarim, the villages, read it on the day of knisa. Va'yorus gedailois b'yodalad. And the big cities read it on yodalad. U'mekofen choyma b'tezvav. So Rashi's learning that the Gemara's kasha in Megillah was from a bunch of different cases. It was from the fact that in Eretz Yisrael they read it one day, in Yerushalayim they read it one day, in Chutzar they read it another day. And the kasha was also from the small villages in the big cities. As you know from learning Megillah, that the small villages were allowed to read it on the Yom HaKnisa on the Monday and Thursday. So Rashi learns that the Gemara's kasha was from all those configurations. From the configuration of Yudal Tetzvav, and the configuration of the fact that the small villages will read it on Monday and Thursday. Says Rashi...
Are we worried that we have two gods? Are we worried about the Goyim, or are we worried about ourselves?
Ah, that's a good question. The question is, what is this all about? Who are we nervous about? It's a great ha'ara. But Lineder, as we go through the sugya, we're going to delve deeper into Rashi, and we'll see if there's another opinion in the Rambam, to what exactly is this problem? And when does this give off this impression? Right? When does this impression, give off of Nir Kibbeis Tyrus? We'll get to it.
I'm not worried about this with 2 days Yontif.
Ah, Givaldik. That's page 4. Page 4, we're going to talk about it.
Different factors.
And Mitzvashem, we'll see that the Lechem Mishnah has this kasha. The Archaner has this kasha. Rabbi Soloveitchik deals with this kasha. Belineder, that's page 4. Hopefully, we'll get to it at some point. Yeah, we'll deal with that, Belineder. That's what we're going to get to. That's what we have to get to. Right, Mitzvashem.
I might have missed it.
Yeah, David.
Why is this Isser of separation mentioned by this particular Aveira of cutting? What about Kashrus or Shabbos?
No, it's not. The way the Ritva reads the Pasuk is like this. Banim Atam Hashem Lakecha. We are all children of Hashem. Therefore, we need to be unified. Therefore, Lo Tiskaidu. We're not allowed to, meaning we have to behave differently because we're Hashem's children. One way we have to behave differently is we can't split off into different groups. And secondly, because we're children of Hashem, we're royalty, we can't cut ourselves and we have to react to death
unrelated,
differently.
Unrelated. The question of a second day Yontif is more compelling once you're in Israel. If you're in Israel.
Oh, okay, good. Good. We're going to get to it.
Israel, I understand. They're two different factors, but once you're in Israel.
So the truth is, we haven't yet got to the main point of the sugi yet, which is a Gemara in Yevamos number 4. But Blineda, we will deal with all of these. Now everyone sees why it took 4 pages. Okay, now we understand why there's 4 pages in Maram Mekomis. Let this go. I don't know. It bothers me. It bothered me a lot when I looked up. Yeah, it bothers me also. I don't have a good answer to that. Why, if you look in the Mefarshei HaChumash, Kemat no one discusses like this guy to do. Strange. I don't have an answer. Rashi doesn't quote this Gemara in Yevamos even over there. It's a good Ha'ara. I don't have a solid answer to how to deal with that. Now, look in Rashi number 3.
Just one last one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Who is this? But the Torah is directing this to whom? Like, is it to individuals or to the Rabbanim?
Good. So we're going to see, that's also a machloikis. That's a machloikis Amoraim, a machloikis Mishainim, and of course, ultimately a machloikis Achrainim. We'll get to that, Beli Neder. I hope to get to that at some point. What I'm trying to do this week, at least, is build the first layer of the sugya, and then we'll from there be able to talk more. But we have to at least see what I call the Yisoidis HaSugya of Leitis Kaidu, and then I think it'll be a little clearer to everyone and to understand a lot better what's going on over here. And then hopefully at some point deal with the halachic ramifications of it as well. Now there's an important Rashi number 3. Rashi number 3 is going on the Gemara. What did the Gemara say? Va'at amet li min haga. Meaning you, Reish Lakish, asked Rabbi Yochanan and Akasha about Megillah. Rabbi Yochanan said back to Reish Lakish, what about doing Malach on Erev Pesach? And he said back, those are apples and oranges. One's a minig and one's an iser. So Rashi explains, the Hasam l'kuli al-mashari. Over there, everyone agrees you're allowed to do Malach on Erev Pesach. Miu ba'asra the achmer, but if you happen to be in a community that's machmir, al yishana is darker, and they're machlekes. You don't change because you don't want fights. But that's not a real din. Loitis Kaididu says, Reish Lakish is when you have a din, an iser, but something which is only a minig is no Loitis Kaididu. And then the Gemara asks back, Uparchina v'hasa misu eleka, but to me, is there no iser? Now, the first line of Rashi is interesting. What does Rashi say? That Where did it go? Rashi's saying that what? That the, again, the kasha was from the top line of Rashi. The asmilu rabbanu lebnei abeser, the iboyi lemikrei bechameis oleimotzi. Says Rashi, by Megillah, it's Isser. Why? Because those who are supposed to read on the 14th are not allowed to read on the 15th. And those that are supposed to read on the 15th are not allowed to read on the 14th. So that's like Rashi's with Damiel State Tyrus. That goes off the impression that there's two sets of rules, but not a Minhag. Now what's interesting about that Rashi, why does Rashi focus on Yedalin and Tezvav and not on the villages and the small cities? Didn't Rashi earlier tell us that the Gemara's Kasha was from Yedalin and Tezvav, as well as the villages and the big cities? Here, when Rashi explains the Gemara's answer about Minhag versus Isser, Rashi harps on the fact that reading on the 14th versus the 15th is an Isser. And what about the villages reading on the 12th and the 13th? Rashi does not make that observation. We'll have to see why Rashi does not fill in the same thing over there. Now, we have to see a very important Gemara in Yevamos. This is Daf Yudal and Malaf in Yevamos. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya. Zok the Gemara. Ki amir na loyt iskay to do. When do we say the violation of loyt iskay to do? Ki goin? Shtei bati dinim bi'ir achas. That's if you were to have two courts, two bezdins, in one city. Halalu mayrim kidivei beishamai. One court paskins like beishamai. Halalu ki mayrim kidivei beisilu. One court paskins like beisilu. That would be loyt iskay to do. Avo shtei bati dinim bishtei ayarois. If you have two separate courts in two separate cities. I have a Bezdin in Chicago that paskins X, and I have a Bezdin in New York that paskins Y. Less lumba. That is not a problem of loy tiskay to do. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Amalei Rava. Rava says, what are you talking about? With the Gemara said that Beisham and Beisilu were considered in one city, and still it's not a problem. So, according to you, it's only a problem if it's two separate cities.
But if Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel.
That was only afterwards. Right. But the Gemara dealt with, and that part I skipped because that was the Yevamos part, how Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was relevant to Lois Iskoidu. So, El Amar Rav. Rav has an upshat. And this is what we need, because we presumably paskin like Rav. Ki Amin and Lois Iskoidu. When is there a violation of Lois Iskoidu? Ki Goin Bezdin Bir Achas. That's if you have a Bezdin in one city. Palag plag moirin kedivei beishamai. One part of the Bezdin says follow beishamai. Upelag and half moirin kedivei beisil. Avushtei batei dinim biirachas. But let's say I have one city, and in one city I have one Bezdin saying X and one Bezdin ruling Y. Less lon ba. There is no problem of loytis kai to do. That was Rava's opinion. So we have on our hands a very fundamental machloikis Rava and Abaya to when and how we say loytis kai to do. According to Abaya, if it's in the same city, there's no room for split. According to Abaya, every city has to be united. It can't help that there's two sets of rules in one city. Two separate cities are fine. If New York wants to be New York and Chicago wants to be Chicago, no problem. But New York can't be split. You can't have New York half doing one way, half doing the other way. Rabbi says, no problem. New York can also be split if you have two batidinim. If I have two, whatever that means, batidinim, we'll have to define that better. But so this is a very fundamental machloikis. According to Abaya, if you have one city, you're stuck. One city is always loy tiskaidu. Loy drava, no. Loy drava, if you have one city, it can also not be loy tiskaidu, as long as you have what's called shtei batidinim. This is the end of the Gemara, where the Gemara defines loy tiskaidu. Now, obviously, what we need to discuss today is what's the lomdus in the machloikis between Abaya and Rava. What exactly is the point of disagreement, and what is the lomdus between the two of them? But to better understand that, we need to see a very shver Rambam. The Rambam writes in number 5 in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Zok the Rambam. Zok the Rambam, Gedida usrita achasi. Zok the Rambam, the Isra of Gedida and the Isra of slashing is one Isra. Ukishem shayu akam sartim bibsarim al meisehem, just like the goyim used to cut themselves on the loss of life, but they had sar because they were sad. Kachoyu choyv them ba'atzmam avodah zirichavim. They also used to harm themselves for the sake of the Avodah Zarah. Shenema vayiskoydu b'mishpatam. Zok de Rambam gam ze osre Torah. That's also not allowed. Shenema lo yiskoydu. Elo zok de Rambam. Sha'al meis, if one cuts themselves over a dead person, bein sard biyode, bein sard b'kli loike. You got malchus no matter if you did it with your fingers, or if you did it with a kli. L'avodah kichavim, but if you did it for Avodah Zarah, b'kli chayim, malchus biyode pot. Fine. Zok the Rambam, ubechlal azarezeh, also included in this violation is, shelo yishnei batei dinim bir achas. You should not have two courts in one city, ze noyig kiminog zeh, ve ze noyig kiminyan acher. Zok the Rambam, not only are you not allowed to cut yourself, you're also not allowed to have, included in this violation is, you should not have two courts in one city. One going this way and one going that way. Why? This leads to big fights. Splits lead to fight. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, lo yisiskaydidu, leitasu agudos agudos. There are numerous ha'aras that one can make in this Rambam. So let's start from the beginning. First ha'ara you see from the Rambam is that sounds like from the Rambam understood that this is an issa deraisa. Because he writes, ubechlal hazarezeh. Included in this violation is this, which seems to say, not muchach, but it seems to imply that it's part and parcel of the words of the Pasuk. So if it's part and parcel in the words of the Pasuk, it would make it not an asmachta, but it would make it an issa deraisa. Ha'ara number two in the Rambam is the Rambam seems to have paskin not like Rava. The Rambam seems to have paskin like Abaya. What does the Rambam say? When are you in a violation of agudas agudas? When you have one city with two batidinim. According to Rava, one city with two batidinim is not like this guy to do. That's only like this guy to do according to Abaya. So the Rambam seems to have paskin like Abaya, not like Rava. Why is that troublesome? Because we know the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Metzia, whenever there's machlokes Abaya and Rava, we always go like Rava except for Yal Kigam. And this is not one of the Yal Kigams. So Frekta Kesef Mishnah, why over here did the Rambam go like Abaya, not like Rav? That's Ha'ara number two. Ha'ara number three in the Rambam, if you read the Rambam carefully, what did the Rambam say? Yishalayeh bati dina beracha ze noyeg kiminog ze, vize noyeg kiminog achim. The Rambam seems to be saying that the din of Loi Tiskaidu applies to a minog as well. Not only do Esurim have Loi Tiskaidu, but Minhagim also have Loi Tiskaidu, which we mentioned earlier might be a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Now, the Rambam holds that Minhagim are subjected to Lois Iskaididu. Does that mean Esurim are not? Or does that, it means Esurim are for sure subjected to Lois Iskaididu? If Minhagim are subjected to Lois Iskaididu, Kol Shekain, Esurim are subjected to Lois Iskaididu. But the Rambam seems to be saying clearly that a Minhag would also be in the rule of Lois Iskaididu. And the last ha'ara on the Rambam, and perhaps the one we'll discuss the most today, is the Rambam gave a different reason for Loi Tiskaididu. The Rambam didn't say, like Rashi, that it gives off the impression of two tyrants. Instead, the Rambam gave the reason because it's going to lead to fights. The Rambam says, Shalitas agudis agudis, why? Shadov ezeh gairim l'machloikis g'dailois. This will lead to large fights. So the Rambam seemed to have had a totally different understanding to the Lav. Rashi learned the reason for the Lav is because it gives off the impression of two tyrants. Says the Rambam, that's not the pshat. The reason why you're not allowed to have split off in different divisions is because it leads to machlokes. Okay.
So which base it has to stand down? Who's the warning to?
Or very good. Very good. That's a fundamental shiloh. But Lee Nedda will talk about that. It sounds like from the Gemara that the whole din of Loi Tiskaidu is a din in Bezdin. It's not a din in me. Bezdin is not allowed to offer a psak that's going to lead to machloikis. But little old me, I can do whatever I want.
So we'll, does it first come, first serve?
Okay, we'll have to talk about it, Bli Nether. Hopefully we'll get to it. So we're holding right now in a Yisoyedistik
machloikis.
Rabbi, yeah.
Does it also apply to, is it established Bezdin? Or can I make my own Bezdin? Good, three
good. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. What does the Gemara mean when it says a Bezdin? Well, who constitutes a Bezdin? Is a Machloikis Rishonim like a Bezdin? Let's say you have a Machloikis Rishonim between, the Shulchan Aruch and other people, should you wear Tefillin HaChol HaMoed? So is that considered two Bezdins in one city? We'll have to see. But the Rambam Shita is going to be our discussion for a little bit more today. So what did the Rambam say?
Another point.
Sure.
It comes out that it's a
lav shebeklolus. Gevaldik. That's the Kesef Mishnah's Kasha. Oh, we'll get to that. That's the next number six on the Maamar Kaimis is the Kesef Mishnah's Kasha. We'll get to that in 2 seconds. Now, let's read number six. Ask the Kesef Mishnah. According to this Rambam, Loi Tiskaididu includes two prohibitions. It includes a prohibition of cutting and includes a prohibition of having break-off groups. And there's a halacha called the lav shebeklolus. The lav shebeklolus means if I have a lav in the Torah that is pretty open-ended, and it includes many different Asurim, I can't get Malkus for any of them. Because since it's open-ended, it's not specifically clearly what the Torah writes. I mean, the Torah writes something clear. You know, the Torah writes, Loi tesimu karcha. That's clear. Loi teskoidu, you're telling me now, means two things. It means don't cut myself, and it also means don't have groups. So the Gemara has a klal, when something is a lav shebeklolus, you can't get Malkus. So ask the Kesef Mishnah number 6, Vim Toimer. Eich loike amigadi datzmoi. How could the Rambam write that if a person cuts himself over a dead person, he gets malchus, the halav shebekolos, who it should be considered lav shebekolos? K'moy lav de loisaychul al adam. The Gemara in the beginning of Brachas makes a drasha on loisaychul al adam. One of the things the Gemara learns out from there is that you're not allowed to eat before Shachris. The Gemara learns out a bunch of things from the Pasuk. So the Gemara has a rule. Anytime you learn out many things from one lav, you can't get Malchus. So frek the kesef mishnah. If according to the Rambam, I learn out two things from the word loitis kaididu, so how can I get Malchus for cutting? So the Yishloimer answers the kesef mishnah, the loidomi. No, it's not a good comparison. The hocha ikar halav yadanishu shaloi bit negadir atzmeinu. Says the kesef mishnah because that's not pshat. Because really, the real pasuk is talking about cutting. Elisha Rabba Hakosav Gam Shloi Lasser is agudas agudas. But there's a riboy and a second level of interpretation that includes groups. Avod deloy soichul hadam ikar halav loy noyde ezuhu. Ulahochi havi lav shabacholis. Gvaldik echilish from the kesef mishnah. Kesef mishnah says lav shabacholis doesn't mean when you learn out many things from one pasuk. Lav shabacholis means when you have an open ended pasuk and you have no idea what the pasuk means. It says in the Torah loy soichul hadam, don't eat on blood. What does that mean? So the Gemara says it means this, it means that, it means this. Says the Gemara, if it means so many different things, you don't get Malchus. But says the Kesef Mishnah, we know what the Pasuk means. Lois is Kaidu means don't cut. There's another level of interpretation that also means that not to have groups. But Zok the Kesef Mishnah, that does not make it a Lav Shabbos. Now, Frecht of Moshe Feinstein, what's the Kesef Mishnah talking about? It's a Lav Shabbos? I thought the whole Pasuk was only an Asmachta. If loit is sky to do, it really means cutting, and it's only a second level of interpretation, so what was the kesef mishnah's kash in the first place? Elamai says, Rav Moshe, you see from here, that loit is sky to do is a din d'oraisa. It's not an asmachta. Loit is sky to do, shloitasa agudas agudas is a din d'oraisa. Even though perhaps the kipshute of the pasuk means cutting, but it definitely makes it to being a din d'oraisa. And therefore, Loitis Kaidu, Paskins Rav Moshe Feinstein, as does others, is a din d'oraisa. Now, why is it important for us to know that? Because if you're going to have a suffix, if something is Loitis Kaidu or not, it's not a suffix d'rabbanon, it's a suffix d'oraisa. Now, there's a safe, the Rambam and Sefer Amisus, to me, is a little hard to read. We just got finished saying that the Rambam Shita seems to imply that Loitis Kaidu means two things. And one is in a violation of an issa d'oraisa if he were to break into groups as well as cutting himself. But if you read the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs, it doesn't give off that same impression. The Rambam writes...
Wait, so Rabbi...
Yeah.
According to the Rambam, having a machlokes is an issa d'oraisa?
Yep. If it's in the context of loy tiskaididu. Whatever meets loy tiskaididu, which is machlokes abai and rava, and if it meets that criteria, it would be a violation of an issa d'oraisa, 100%.
But there should be any machlokes is an issa d'oraisa.
No. Again, we have to clarify better what's loy tiskaididu.
Right, the place is going to do is also because at least a machlekes. So any machlekes should be an issa d'oraisa according to
him. No, because even according to Abai and Rava in the Rambam as well, there are guidelines for when it is permissible. Right, there are times where not everyone has to be on the same boat. We have to figure out when we're not allowed to be and when we are allowed to be. But when we are in a violation, when we cross the line of what it's going to do, according to the Rambam, it's taka issa d'oraisa. So if you hold, and here's the if you hold that putting on tefillin in a shul that doesn't wear tefillin is like this guy do, if you go and put on tefillin, you're in a violation of an issa d'oraisa. That's what comes out. Now the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs is a little bit hard for me to read. He writes like this, look the Rambam. Visham is bo'er, there we explain, ha-mizgoydeid al ha-meis, if someone cuts himself over a dead body, bein biyad bein b'kli chayiv. Okay. Says the Rambam, included in this iser is the idea of machloikis dati or ibim and hagam, disagreeing in the city with customs, v'cholak hakvutzim, and split of groups. For Amru, it says in the Torah, loitaskoy didu loitasu agudas agudas, avo gufa dekra, but the actual pasuk.
Can you raise the page, Rabbi, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs is saying that Avada, the real Pshat in the Pasuk is... I can't... Why is it not moving? The Rambam is saying that real Pshat in the Pasuk is Agudas Agudois doesn't mean... I apologize, my computer is misbehaving. Adina!
Find one of your kids.
She's upstairs. Ask her to come down when she can, please. So the Sefer HaMitzvahs is saying that Avada, the real Pshat in the Pasuk, the real Pshutei Shel Mikra is... why I can't pull up the page. Oh, there we go. Thank you. The real pshat in the pasuk, we're number seven. The real pshat in the pasuk, Zakti Rambam, is really referring to cutting over a dead body. But there's a secondary pshat in the pasuk that means agudas agudas. Now, does that mean it's terabonon? Or does that just mean like the Kesef Mishnah says? That avada, the real reading of the pasuk, means cutting. There's a second level of interpretation that means groups, but avad it's deraisa. I'm not sure. When I read the Sefer HaMitzvahs, something seems to be screaming to me that he means to be saying that it's taka not deraisa. Because he says, avol gufa dekra, the real pop shot in the pasuk, is not referring to this. So if that's not what the pasuk is referring to, so then maybe it's only an asmachta. So I'm torn about how to read the Sefer HaMitzvahs if the Sefer HaMitzvahs seems to be agreeing with the way the Kesef Mishnah read the Rambam, that avad it's deraisa, it's just not the kipshute, the pasuk. Or does the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs seem to be tipping us off to perhaps to say that maybe it's taka only an asmachta ba'almatz? It's not clear to me how to read these two Rambams. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in one tshuva, number 8, he was there, he writes this, Hine, ho'isa beveis ha'knesses achas, in a shul, le'eze inchi l'shanes mi'minhagi ha'mokim midvar manikarim, if a person wants to change the shul's minhagim, you want to do something obviously different than the rest of the shul's, Dr. Moshe, ikash ne'esurim, there's two possibilities, chad, milav de lo'isis kaitu, one would be lo'isis kaitu, she'nidrus b'ivamas dafi gimel, kam le'in de lo'isa asu agudis agudis, v'hu midai raisa, Zakti Rav Moshe, loy tiskaidu is a din deraisa. How do I know? Dim loy kain, loy hei shaykh lahakshis, dim iboy le lahakra legufe. Because the Gemara, if you remember, I pointed this out, but the Gemara had a kasha. And maybe the whole pasuk is referring to the din of loy tas agudis agudis. Frekt Rav Moshe, but if the whole pasuk is only, if the whole din is derabonon, how could the Gemara entertain such a kasha that the whole pasuk is used for that, if the whole thing is only derabonon?
If you change the minute, you're not having two separate minhagim, everybody changes.
No. You're going to do X and everyone else is going to do Y.
So he's changing the minhag of the shul.
No, you're going to change the minhag from what the shul is doing. Dr. Moshe, v'cheinu mefurish b'Rambam. Dr. Moshe, it's a Rambam. The Rambam Moshe Kosov, v'chlal azar zu, shalei yishtei bati dinam birachas, he quotes the Rambam, and then he says, the Kesef Mishnah. He says, u'hikshah Kesef Mishnah, eich loike b'gdida, ho'lav shebekolois, the Kesef Mishnah's kasha. What are you talking about? What is the Kesef Mishnah's kasha? The Kesef Mishnah had a kasha that's a lav shebekolos. What does a lav shebekolos mean? It means you have a pasuk where the Torah uses two things. But if it's only a derabbanon, why you kasha klum? So Dr. Moshe, you see from over here that it's a din deraisa. The shein is Dr. Moshe. There's another din. Al yishanav ne'amachloikis. Separate din. B'din zehu midirabbanon. Dr. Moshe, b'din zehu af b'minhagim. So, Dr. Moshe, you should know, loitis kaidu is applicable even by a minuk. She'ikka b'hu esurik tas. If it has some form of a connection to esur, the kol shekein be'esurim gemurim. And definitely if it has real esurim, kemayib tefillin b'cholamayit. Where is there an esur tefillin cholamayit, Dr. Moshe? She'aloyv shim tefillin oivir ba'asei. Because if you hold, you're supposed to wear tefillin, you might be in a oivir na'asei, kishayin emenichai. Right? If you hold, you're supposed to wear tefillin, you don't wear tefillin, you're violating a mitzvah asei. And if you wear tefillin when you're not supposed to, you're also over in this. So what's the Isser Zilzul Hamayit, like we spoke about last week? So Zakti Rav Moshe, tefillin is taka a real problem. So what do you see from this truth of Rav Moshe is that Rav Moshe is assuming, like we've mentioned earlier, that Loi Tiskoidu is an Isser De'eraisa. And he's Medaike from the Gemara, and he's Medaike from the Rambam as well.
These are individual minhagim. I mean, I thought this was only through Bati Dinim.
Well, again, the fact that Rashi, you know, the fact that the Shulchan Aruch holds one way and the Ramah holds another way, is that the same thing as two Bati Dinim? That's our question. Is that the same status as two Bati Dinim? Now, there's a Me'iri over here, very important Me'iri, number 9, left corner. The Me'iri writes like this. The Me'iri writes like this. Zok the Me'iri. Zush Amr Torah Lo Tiskaidu. This that it says in the Torah Loitis Kaidu, Avo Pisha Ikra Boshle Lasis Chabura, even though again, the main Pshah of the Pasuk, everyone keeps on emphasizing this, that the main Pshah of the Pasuk is Chabura, Kemoy Shez Barbim Kemoy, Remez, and he recalls that a Remez, Remez Yesh Boshle Lasis Mitzvahis Agudas Agudas. What's the way, man? She oisin Elu Kederze, the Elu Kederze, one guy does it this way, one guy does it this way, Achi Unirin Kenoigim State Terrors, until it looks like you're keeping two Terrors. When is this a problem? When the city only has one bezdin, and even that bezdin split. The bezdin itself is split. If you have two sets of dinim, ubez din echa noig lufsa kishita zu, ubez din acha kishita zu, ein kan agudas agudas. Zokti miivi like Rava. Why? She efsha loilam, she eskimu kulam adasecha. Zokti miivi, it's impossible. When are you ever going to find a situation where everyone agrees to everyone? The art of machloikas. Right. So zokti miivi, that's okay. V'kol shekein bedvarim hatluyim b'minog. Zokti miivi, for sure, it's only a minog. She ain't kpeda. There's no problem im halolu noigim kach, v'im halolu noigim kach. So what is the Mi'iri saying? The Mi'iri is saying that there is absolutely no problem if you want to have minhagim that are split. This is the chayr against the Rambam. The Rambam told us that lois iskoidu is by minhagim. Here the Mi'iri is saying there is no problem with lois iskoidu when it comes to minhagim. Now,
one second, what? It's circular reasoning.
It's not deraisa.
Why is it a raya that's not deraisa?
He'll
tell you that the din d'oraisa is only if it's not a minhag.
Where is he saying it is d'oraisa?
He's not saying anything. I have no clear right from the Mi'iri if it's d'oraisa d'rabbanan. What I did want from this Mi'iri is that it clearly says that minhagim don't have loitis kai to do. Now, that's pashtus amachloikis abir yechon amish lokish. That was the argument between Rebbe Yechon and Rebbe Shlokish about whether or not you have a raya from the fact that you don't do malach on Erev Pesach after before Chatzos. So he's picking sides in that machlokes, and he's assuming that we don't say loitis kai do by a minog. The Rambam seems
what's
to...
What's the frame of reference? Is one shul...
Oh, good.
In and of himself, or is the whole community, the whole world?
That's what we're going to have to get to. Now, if you turn to the next page, let's see if I can get this on my own. Ah, Baruch Hashem. In the next shtickle over here, shtickle from Reb Nochum Partovich. So Reb Nochum Partovich was one of the great Magidi Shurim in the Mir, one of the great Marbitzei Torah. They say over a story with Reb Nochum, and Michael can clarify if this is true or not, I don't know, but the story goes that Reb Nochum used to be very nervous to say shir around Reb Shach. Apparently he was hesitant to say a shir if Reb Shach was present. And the word got back to Reb Shach, and Reb Shach said, I don't know, why is Reb Nochum so nervous? He gives such a fantastic shir. So Reb Shach said, that's Pshat and Rashi in last week's parsha. Aaron HaKohen, when he was about to do the Avodah in the Mishkan, he got nervous because Rashi says the eagle appeared to him. And Moshe Rabbeinu told him, L'kach nevcharta. So most people assume Shad is that because you're such an Anuv, and you felt that you have no right to work in the Beis HaMikdash, that's why you were chosen. So Reb Shach said, that's here also. Since Reb Nochum is such an Anuv, and he felt uncomfortable saying Torah in front of people bigger than him, that's why he says over such great Torah. That's a story Reb Shach, they say over with Reb Shach and Reb Nochum. Michael, you can probably tell me if that story is true or not, but I don't know. That's what I heard, such a story.
Yeah, I heard it, but by the time Reb Nochum was saying the shit to Reb Shach, it was probably before I was born.
I don't know. This is the story I heard, so it makes for a good story. But in any case, so Reb Nochum in his Chedushim and Yevamis, and number 10, he's Masber. Pashup Shat in the Gemara. What's the issue between Abai and Rav? Okay, so we spoke about Rashi, we spoke about the Rambam. Now we got to get back to the Gemara. What was the argument between Abai and Rav? Abai said that if you have one city, you can't split it. One city cannot go two different paths, even if there's two Bati Dinim. One city's got to have one halach. And Rava said, no, one city can also be split. What's the Nekudas HaMachloike, Zoktub Nachum? So he writes, number 10, Zoktub Nachum, he says, V'habir, what's the pshat, the third line? Tehecha da'ave beiz bat edinim, loidom l'shtei teiris. Zoktub Nachum, when you have two separate courts, that doesn't give off the impression that there's two teiris. D'hanira de'ikha machloike, is b'na bat edinim. Anyone knows that there's two courts, has two different bati dinim, different rabbanim, will say two different people think differently. Bezdin X thinks with their mindset, their mesira, and Bezdin Y thinks with their mesira. No one gets frazzled by it. Why? The hanira dekem achloik is ben abati dinim. Avol be bezdin echad. So to Nachum, if you have one bezdin, in the nira kemachloik is el nira kepelik bezdin mayer chateru upelik bezdin mayer teracheres. Zoktim Nachum, the point in Rava's world was how many bati dinim you have. If you can have two separate Bati Dinim, so everyone knows, two separate Bati Dinim, they have, again, look at all the kashrus agencies we have today. We have Star K, the OU, Chaf K, all them, and everyone knows that they each have their own Mahalach, and they disagree. The problem is only when in the OU you have a split, or in the Star K you have a split, right? But the fact that the Chaf K and the OU don't agree with each other, that's Maisim B'chol Yom. Everyone knows that the OU has their Messiah, because the OU follows, you know, Rabbi Ganak likes to follow his Messiah, and the Star K follows the Moshe Heinemann's Messiah. So everyone knows there's different Pesachim. But in Zoktim Nachum, that doesn't bother anyone. If I live in one city and there's two separate Bat Dinim, no one should be frazzled by that. But if you have one Bezdin, one body that's making all the Pesachim, and that body is torn and they're telling you the different things, that's when Zoktim Nachum, that's when you run into problems.
But you have a concept of role. You have a concept,
good. Like, how does that, good, we'll get to that. We'll see the Nitziv deals with this Kasha. We'll get to that hopefully at some point. And that's very, very mistaver the way Rav Nachum is saying it. That Rav's point about two Bat Dinim and one Bezdin is really what? It's whether or not it gives off an impression of dispute, or if it gives an impression of shtei batei dinim. But then Reb Nachum asks the kasha. It's not his kasha. It's already asked by earlier Achronim, but it's a very obvious kasha. Frekt Reb Nachum, let's go back to the Rambam for a second. How did the Rambam learn the Gemara? The Rambam learned that it looks like it's going to cause machloikis. Frekt Reb Nachum, how do you read the Gemara? One of the kashas from Moitis Koididu was in the case of Megillah. That if in Yerushalayim they read the Megillah on Tezvav, and in America we read the Megillah on Yudala, that's Loitis Koididu. Frekt Reb Nachum, why is that Loitis Koididu? But Tzorachin, to be Megillah, to be Akvarim, Koidim, Miyam Aknisu, Bnei Ayaris, Biyadal, Mamach Loikishayim, where's the fight? Why would that create a fight? I'm going to fight because you read it on your day and you read it on, where's the fight? The Bishlam, Ehechad, Zen Noigle, Issev, Zen Leheter, Ike Garma Machloikis. Av Megillah, my Garma Machloikisika. Frekt Reb Nachum, what's there to argue about? I'm going to fight because you're reading the Megillah on your day and I'm reading the Megillah on my day. Again, I'll add to the Kasha. Befrat, if it was designated like that by Chazal from the get-go. If Chazal stole the Vek and they established that Tezvav reads the Tezvav, where's the room for argument? Well, what's the fight about? Bishlam, if we're going to fight about Tefillin HaChol HaMoed, so I'm going to tell you that I follow Shulchan Aruch and you follow Ramah. We're going to fight about it. But here we're
you're both in walled cities and one reads another day.
The
same exact facts, that would be...
That would taka be. But the Gemara wasn't talking about that case. The Gemara was talking about the case of Sofrekt Reb Nachum, Bishlom, according to Rashi, maybe you can hear, it looks bad. He gives off the impression of two tires. But fights, where's there a fight about? So Zokt Reb Nachum, very gishmak. Vahniri, b'das Rambam. Zokt Reb Nachum, that's pshat in the Rambam. Dibizeh gufo iflugu Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish. This is classical Torah. He said that that's gufo machlokes b'Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish. The Reish Lakish sphere laid the dina de loisis kaidu the humitam based tyrus. Reish Lakish thought that the isra of loisis kaidu was like Rashi. That one, it looks like two tyrus. Umushamachi, hikshim and Megillah. That's when Reish Lakish opened up the sugya, he asked for Megillah. What was his kasha? How could the Bnei Kfarim do one way and their walled city do a different way? It looks weird. It looks like there's two tyrus. What was the Yechon's response back to him? What are you talking about? That's not a kasha. Why? Fe'byoichin mishana de'in zatam. That's not the pshat. Elamitam de garam lemachloikis. The only reason why it's a problem is because of machloikis. Umemela lekasha klam megillah. And that's why megillah is not really a kasha. So Mele zokt Reb Nachum the machloikis to Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish is telling the machloikis Rashi in the Rambam. If it has to do with shtei toiris, or if it has to do with shelo yavi lidei machloikis. Now, if you look at number 11, the Keren Oira makes the exact same shtukel Torah. He points out that the machloikis to Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish is telling the machloikis Rashi and Tosfos, but he takes it one step further. He writes the sviru leil Reish Lakish da afilu b'shnei mekaymis. Reish Lakish holds even if you're in two separate communities, you can still have lois iskaidu. Why? The nearer the Reish Lakish via the tam lois iskaidu mishum shloyer mushesh chas mishum shtei teres. Reish Lakish held it's like Rashi, the two teres. Umishum hachi hashad Reb Yochanan. I mean a loch on his suv at amadim minhaga. Debe minhaga lekach shash shtei teres. Says the Keren Oira, Reish Lakish that holds it's about shtei teres. Reish Lakish believed that if that's the reason, there's no problem when it comes to a minhag, because a minhag is not teres. So therefore, Reish Lakish said that don't try to bring me a raya from the fact that you don't do malach on Erev Pesach. Because malach on Erev Pesach is only a minig. Minig doesn't fit into Loitis Kaidu. Why does a minig fit into Loitis Kaidu? Because minig doesn't give off the appearance of two Torah. And Mele Reb Yochanan holds it's because of Machloikis. And therefore, because it's Machloikis, Reb Yochanan holds you don't have that problem if it's two communities. What's there to fight about one community to another community? But Reb Yochanan holds it is a problem when it comes to Minhagim. So Zokta Keren Oira is similar to what we saw from Reb Nachum, that the Machloikis of Yechon Reish Lakish is totally the Machloikis Rashi in the Rambam. If it has to do with Machloikis, or if it has to do with Minim. Which means, the Rambam is Gishmak. The Rambam says it has to do with Machloikis, and that's why the Rambam says it's even true by Minhagim. Because by Minhagim, you talk, I have a problem of fighting over Minhagim. So the Rambam works very nicely now, according to what we're saying. The Rambam is working with the Lomdis that it's Marbe Machloikis, and that's why the Rambam thinks it's a problem, even if it's going to be only based on a minhag. Okay, so far, that's what comes out from the sugya. Now, there's a netziv over here, very important netziv, in Meshav Dover. The netziv has the same kasha as Abnacham asked. So the netziv, he's convinced that there's only one reason to prohibit Leitis Kaidzu. There's no machlokes Rishonim over here. This Rambam can't exist. It's very hard, Zogt Netziv, to explain the Rambam. Why? He says, Hayotze Mesugi is number 12. Zogt Netziv. What comes out from the Sugi is the following. The Azara de Loisiskoidu Loishach Lachshash Machlokes. It has nothing to do with Machlokes. El Rachmono Boyi Doilavi Kishtei Teres. The only reason is, like Rashi, that we don't want there to be two Teres. How do I know? Shayim Shimon Lokish Makshim and Megillah. Zogt Netziv Reb Nochem's Kasha. Reish Lokish asks for Megillah. V'hosam Lekha Machlokes. Where's the fight by Megillah? Where's the fight by Megillah? We all know that Anshe Knesset Gedolah set up Megillah this way. They made it that you do it there and I do it here. But what's the kasha? Where's the fight? Vesu, another kasha in the Tziv has very strong kasha. If it's all about arguments, so why should there be a difference between a minig and an iser? Which is exactly why the Rambam writes that by Minhagim, there is Loisis Kai to do. But the Netziv understood the Gemara Kipshutai, that the Gemara rejected the idea that there's Loisis Kai to do by Minhagim. So for the Netziv, what difference should it make? If it's about fights, this will also cause fights. How many people fight about Minhagim more than they fight about Isurim? Vesu, Nachar Kasha for the Netziv. Mayim Mishani Rishlokish Hasam Aroya Ima Malacha with the Leslie. What was the Gemara Kasha about Malacha and Erev Pesach? The Gemara said, that's not Loisis Kai to do. Why? Because if I see my friend not working, I'll just assume it's because he has nothing to do. Frek the Netziv, he says, That was David's kasha. It goes the other way. So you didn't answer anything. You're still going to have a problem when those people that are noig iser, that they see other doing it. So you're still going to have a fight. So therefore concludes the Netziv. Ella. The chayshin and the state tyrus. That's the whole sugya. Ulechayre gam lemaskona, but that's Rava. The kaim lakavasei. That's what Rava holds. Hine ikar hazaruzu einay el b'makim esura. I feel boifin doyvich chashash machlekes. Zogt in the tziv has nothing to do with machlekes. It has to do with state tyrus. Ulehepach b'minhaga I feel ikar chashash machlekes leka hazarad loytis kaidu. The male paskins in the tziv aloch lemaisa. There is no loytis kaidu aminhagim. Loytis kaidu is only state tyrus. And it has to be only when it's applicable, which is exactly what we saw from the Meiri, not like the Rambam. So the Netziv is not convinced that it's a machloikis, samurai, mebechim, shlokish, and all this fancy Torah. The Netziv thinks there's no loitis koi to do on Minhag. Okay, now, let's go back to the Rambam for a second. Let's deal with the Rambam for a few more minutes, then we're going to have to stop and Mr. Hashem continue, I don't know when. So the Rambam told us what? If you refer back to the Rambam said, when's it loitis koi to do? That's when you have one city with two bate dinim. That was the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam said, when's it loitis kai to do? When you have one city with two bate dinim. Frek the Kesef Mishnah, number 13, Vim Toimar. Heich pasuk kabaya, deloy ki Rava. Why did the Rambam pass him like Abaya, not like Rava? That wasn't, according to Rava, if you're in one city with two bate dinim, that's not loitis kai to do. The Rambam paskins, one city, two bate dinim is loitis kai to do. So Frek the Kesef Mishnah, why did the Rambam follow Abaya, not Rava? So he gives an interesting answer. He said, "V'yishemi yishloimar to le'omra halacha kirova elheicha de pligi alibe din avshay." When Abaye and Rava are having their own machloikis, then Rava beats Abaye. For leheicha de pligi alibe demand on. But over here, Abaye and Rava are really arguing in other opinions. They're arguing b'shami b'solol or b'yichin rishlokish. Then we don't say the klal of that. Okay, interesting insight to remember. Be it as it may, the kipshuta is the Rama pasuk is like Abaye. Now that's going to have major halachic ramifications. Now what's interesting is, there's nowhere in Shulchan Aruch where the Shulchan Aruch writes explicitly the din of loitis kai to do, which is also interesting. But if you look at number 14, they quote an interesting Radvaz. The Radvaz wants to be masked by the Rambam. He says like this, number 14. The Radvaz is quoted in the Sefer Or Yisrael. He writes, the mistavre time, what's pshat in the Rambam? Shalayibu machloigiz b'Yisrael. The kivin shein bir achas. What's pshat in the Rambam? The Rambam says that even in one city, you're not allowed to have two bat dinim. Why? He writes, Av agav shehem beiz shnei batidinim, yevshuli notzal mamachlikis. The Radvaz thinks pshat in the Rambam is psychological. Psychologically speaking, when you're in one city, there's going to be fights. Like Rav Nachum said, no, if you have two batidinim, people understand there's different opinions. So that's not the way the Rambam understood. The Rambam said, if you're going to have one city needs to be unified. If you have one city, you can't have splits. But he says, why? There's no way there won't be fights. Because the tzibah goes after the bezdins. The people are split. It's going to cause fights. It's something you have to worry about. So he wants to say that the Rambam is pshah, and the reason why the Rambam was afraid that even once again, he's not addressing why the Rambam passed him like a bayah over Rava. He's just saying pshah and a bayah. Pshat Nabai was, Abai said himself, I can't go, or maybe this is why he didn't like Rava. I can't say because it's one city, everything's okay. No. One city, even with two batidim, we're going to lead to fights. And then he says another pshat, very important. Oid nir inam, yesh loimah. Tafilu das Rava. Even according to Rava, ad kan loy omar Rava el batidim chashuvim kebesham ubeisel losho yimshach behem achlokes. When does the Gemara say, when does Rava say, if you have two batidinim, it's okay? That's if you have two reputable batidinim, like Beisham Veisil. Avoshtei batidinim ba'alma. If you have two courts, you have, you know, this judge and that judge. Sheish lochush machoikis memele shabbat pasuk Rambam. Zok, the beautiful pshat. That avada, the Rambam normally paskins like Rava. But Rava has no sheikhas to our sugya. Rava was talking about if you're going to have a Beisham and a Beisil. We don't have a Beisham and a Beisil. We have an OU in the Star K. Again, nothing against the OU and the Star K. I respect both of them, obviously, immensely. But they're not Beisham and Beisil. Zok the Rambam, in such a case, of course there's going to be machlokes. When did Rava say one city is okay? That's if that one city has a Beisham and a Beisil figure. But since we don't have that today, Zok the Rambam, therefore we always have to be worried, and therefore even one city is going to be a problem. So that's the way they want to be masber, the opinion of the Rambam. Now, does everyone agree to the Rambam? Does everyone agree to the Rambam, the Rambam's psak? The answer is no. I'm going to skip now 15 just because I want to just get to the bottom of this page. If you look in the Rosh, if you look in the Riff at number 16, the Riff Paskin is Mefurish like Rav. Zok the Riff, Aska Rav, Ki Amino Lai Tiskoidu, Ki Goyim Bezdin Birachas, Palag Marin Kibdi Beshame, Palag Marin Kibdi Besilo, Avostei Batidinim Birachas Leslambo. Zok the Riff, we pass him like Rav. Two Batidinim in one city is no problem. The Kosh again, Stei Batidinim Beshtei yours. Definitely if you have Yerushalayim and New York, Chicago and LA, no problem. So the Riff passing is like Rava. The Rush, Vaaski Rava, Ki Amino Loi Tiskaidu, Kein Bezdin Echad Birachas, Palig Marin Ki Beshame, Palig Marin Ki Beshelo, Avoshtei Batidinim Birachas, Les Lomba. But if you're going to have two Batidinim in one city, no problem. Because you can't stay Batidinim. Now, so what do we have? We have the Riff and the Rosh Paskin like Rava, the Rambam Paskin like Abaya. Now, another machloikis we have is between the Nitziv and the Meiri and the Rambam. Do we say loy tiskoy to do by minhagim? So the takeaway from today's shir is we have machloikis of Beirchin Rish Lakish, a machloikis of Bayin Rava, machloikis Rishonim, Rashi and the Rambam and the Meiri, and a machloikis Achroinim, how to learn all of the different opinions. And Mr. Shem, we're going to have to continue this next Sunday, Michael. Is that okay? Hello? Who's everyone?